Good morning, church. I wonder whether it's too late to say Happy New Year. No, huh? I thought so. Unless it's the end of January, we can still say it. And even then, we're still at the beginning of the year, isn't it? I'd like to bring a message before you this morning that I have had at Emmaus last Sunday. And because we are standing, we're at the beginning of the year, it's a message that helps us to understand how we begin the year and what stands at the basis of all the decisions that we are making. At Emmaus, we have begun a mini series for preaching that is based on the topic of the heart. For from the heart spring all the good things, and sadly sometimes all the bad things as well. So we are looking today at this. It is a message that's titled The Needs of the Heart, or The Heart's Needs. And I would like to read a few verses from Genesis chapter 1, so the first book of the Bible. You may remain seated. I will read from verse 24 to verse 31. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. The image of God he created him, male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit and seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and pay attention to this, and it was very good. And there was an evening and there was morning, the sixth day. I wonder whether you have made New Year's resolutions. Has anyone made New Year's resolutions? Have the courage to raise your hand. No? Has anyone renewed any old resolutions that maybe weren't completed in 2021 or 2020 or 2019? No? You're the perfect bunch. Everything's completed in time. There's no need to renew. You see, when we come to the end of the year, the passing year and the beginning of the new year, we look at how the year has been and we look at all the things that we were maybe not happy with or that we didn't accomplish. And we say in our minds, although we may not necessarily state a resolution, but we say in our mind, next year I will be doing it differently, or next year I'm planning to do that. So, which is good, it's something very good, because that shows that we look behind and we try to learn from lessons not learned, maybe, or learn and become better from mistakes that we've made in the past. So that's one reason why we may choose to do things differently in the new year. Another one is we get to the level of frustration that things have happened in the same old way for so long that we were fed up. We don't want to do them like that anymore. We've had enough. So that's not necessarily a mental decision, that's a sentimental decision. It springs from the heart. It comes from down deep within us. I've had enough of this house. Yeah, next year we're moving. I've had enough of this job, maybe. Yeah, next year. I've had enough of this type of relationship. Next year we must do something about this. I must be proactive. And so on and so forth. We come to that level of indignation about the situation we're in, and we just simply want to do something. We look at what's lacking, maybe, and we decide that we have got to finish with lacking in that department or that area of our lives. So we, like I said, in at Emmaus, we are doing this mini series of preaching focused on the heart, because the words of Jesus ring in our ears. The good man brings out good things from the good stored in his heart. And the bad man, the evil man, brings out evil from the evil stored in his heart. So it's very important then to realize what it is that we deposit into our heart, because that we will bring out. And notice the way Jesus says this, that what is in the heart will make us a good person or an evil person. So we must really pay attention to what we are depositing in the heart. And I'd like us to understand what is the motivation for allowing into our lives and allowing into our hearts the things, the voices, the influences that we allow. Why? Why do we do that? And what that is going to do to us later on. So we're looking today at Adam and Eve, the first man, first woman on this planet. And we're looking at their needs from the very first day of the existence of this planet, if you want. So we're looking at three things primarily today. We're looking at their need for revelation, we're looking at their need for clarity, and we're looking at their need for liberation. Three needs today. There may be more, and you may, reading the word, you may discover them, but we're looking at these primarily today. So when God created Adam and Eve, we read that God created in his image. So God created the man and the woman in his image, and he created them perfect. There was nothing that he needed to upgrade Adam and Eve with. The way he created them in the first day, that's how they stayed. And we notice from reading these verses that there was a plan for man, in the same way in which God had a purpose for everything else. God didn't just create the trees or the plants just to be green and nice, but to produce fruit, to produce seeds, to produce leaves that they then that could then be consumed by animals and humans. God didn't produce monkeys just because they look nice, or crocodiles, or anything else. He didn't make light just because he thought it would be nice to have light, but there is a purpose for light. So God created everything with a purpose, and in the same way, he created man with a purpose. He tells man, this is what I want you to do. I want you to manage the whole creation. I'm placing you as the manager over the whole earth, over the whole creation. And that is your purpose for existence. Now, before we go further, let me just come back to this thought. God created man in his image. So man's identity was closely linked to God, not to his purpose for living, although he was the manager of the whole planet, not to his abilities in his body, not to his looks. His identity rested in God. And that's what's very important to understand from the very get-go. man's identity rested in God. He was made after his own image, in his likeness. So although God made man in his image, likeness, he stated the purpose for his life, we notice something, that God gave Adam instructions how to reach that purpose. He was to manage, he was to take care of all the creatures, of all kinds of creatures. He was to multiply. So it's very important to notice as well the fact that God didn't tell Adam all these things after the sin. This was before the sin. So what God does here is he makes Adam and Eve the recipient of his message. In other words, God will give Adam and Eve a revelation for the purpose to which he has created them. And then he gives them the purpose, and then he gives them the revelation. This is what you're supposed to do. This is what I've created you to do. And that's very important to notice, that this revelation that man needs from outside of himself is not happening after sin. It's happening before sin. God decided that it's important for Adam and Eve to receive some direction, some explanation about their purpose. So he did that. Now, we understand thus that we need external help in order to understand life, you know, its purpose, its motivation, its joys and sorrows, work and results and satisfaction and family and everything that life means. We do need help in understanding this. And that's why God gave Adam this revelation about his purpose. We don't read that God gave the crocodiles revelation as to why they exist, or the elephants, or the birds. It was Adam. Why? Because he created Adam in his image. Therefore, Adam would be able to think and analyze and ponder on the meaning of life and his place in the life God gave him. And he could dream, he could plan about steps that he would need to take, how to take care of creation. And that's why God revealed to Adam, if you wish, what his steps were going to be. Now, because God has given Adam and us the ability to analyze and think and ask questions and find answers, we understand from here the fact that God has also given Adam the ability to interpret this revelation. And that's very important to, it's a very important thing that we need to keep in mind. We all interpret messages and, you know, things that are happening around us, things that are happening or evolving in our environment. We're in a close environment where we live, where we work. We all interpret things. We don't only work based on facts. We take those facts and then we interpret them to understand what they mean. For example, did you know that the town voted in 2021 as the happiest town in the UK to live in was Hexham? Hexham, you may know more about, or where Hexham is than me. It's about 225 miles up north. Hexham was voted the best town to live in 2021, the happiest town. But then the next question is, who's planning on moving to Hexham this year? Why? It's the happiest town in the UK. See, we take the information and then we start interpreting it. I can't because of this. I can't because of that. It would be nice. Maybe visit if we can, you know, work, house, so on and so forth, relatives, so on and so forth. We interpret the information. I'll give you another example. The COVID vaccine. We have information. Yeah, we have data about that. Some people interpret it as it's good, I'll get it. Others interpret that information as I won't get it. We all get information around us, but we interpret that information. We don't work just off of pure facts. And it's very important for us as Christians to understand God's revelation for us, God's purpose for our life. And it's also very important to be able to interpret. And out of that interpretation, we want to have specific steps that we need to take, specific actions that we need to do. So it's also something interesting to think of, the fact that when we help other people interpret their reality, we influence the interpretation. In the same way in which we allow people, you know, friends, family, co-workers, neighbors, when we allow them to interpret things for us, they influence us with their interpretation. And that's very interesting to keep in mind. By the way, do you know, influencer is a very trendy word nowadays. I'm not sure how much time you spend on YouTube or TikTok, but the younger generations, they spend a lot of time there. But the social media world and YouTube is filled with influencers, people who look at some sort of data and then interpret it for their consumer, for their customers, as it were, for their viewers, yes, to turn them into consumers. So you might have people who test all sorts of makeup products, people who test all sorts of gadgets, people who test all sorts of, you know, useful things around the house, and then they will tell you what their interpretation of that product is. So then you have a review, if you wish. Well, they are influencers. They are influencers, and they influence us. Do you know who was the first influencer in the history of the world? Very first one. Satan. Satan was the first influencer in the history of the world. How? Let's go to the second need of the heart, is clarity. We notice here in this text, if you read particularly, if you start in Genesis 3, you notice that there comes in the story a new voice. There is the fourth voice. Prior to that, we only had God's voice, Adam and Eve. Now comes Satan. And what does Satan? He comes into the story and he brings the same message, the same, if you wish, set of information that God gave Adam and Eve. You have everything to eat from except for that one tree. And Satan takes that information and brings it to Eve. And he goes, did God surely say you will die? Notice that Satan didn't bring a separate set of information. He took God's exact words, but put in a twist, his own twist. And that's very important, because he says in Genesis 3, verse 4, you will not surely die. You will not surely die. Could Satan have said, we have tested this tree on 100,000 people, and out of the 100,000 people, we found that only 0.01% actually die. So statistically, you have no chance of dying. You can eat. Was it based on pure information? No. It was based on his own interpretation of God's words in order to get Eve to act on that information or on that interpretation. And something that we'll spot when we read this is God has his way of working. He created man in his image. He gave him revelation about his purpose, and then he gave him the interpretation of this revelation. What does Satan do? Exact same thing. He uses God's modus operandi, yeah, the same way of working. He gives Eve a revelation in verse 5. God knows that in the day you will eat from the fruit, your eyes will be opened, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Satan also interprets this revelation, surely you will not die. And he also offers identity to Eve and Adam. You will be like God. Same way that God used. So now Eve is before two different opposing interpretation about the same revelation. Which way to go? Which interpretation am I to accept? Am I to follow? And notice something very important from this text. The moment she follows one voice, the Satan's voice, she cannot follow God's voice in the same time. The moment she turns in one direction, she cannot go in the other direction as well. And that is closely linked to Satan's personal agenda for mankind. We see that she's choosing wrongly. From God's perspective, she's choosing wrongly. And we see that based on the actions that Adam and Eve do as a result of this. We read in Genesis 1 and 2 that they were spending time with God and they were having fellowship. And God was talking to them and they were talking to God. From that place of fellowship, they end up running away and hiding. Now, this happened after sin. So this was a consequence. This was an action for accepting the wrong interpretation. From people who were created perfect, they had this revelation from Satan that they had shameful parts of their bodies that they need to cover. They were so shameful that they could not be exposed any longer. So shame entered into their lives, into their hearts, and into their world. So what we must understand here is that the interpretation that Satan brings is aligned to his own agenda. So something important for us then is that every interpretation that we have any interpretation that we have is based on our personal agenda, our own personal preferences. That's how we interpret things. Any opinion that we express about things that are happening around us is based on the interpretation of those things. And that interpretation comes from our own agenda. Any piece of advice that we give to people is based on our own agenda. So if our interpretation is based on revelation received from God, we will resemble God. If our interpretation is based on revelation received from Satan, we will resemble Satan. And that's why it's very important to understand that opinions, pieces of advice are linked to the moral side of things. They have to do with the more moral nature of us humans. So when maybe coworkers will come in, they'll give us a piece of advice about how to act in a situation in which we're stuck, or confused or undecided. And when they say, I'll tell you what you need to do, we need to think very carefully, what is their interpretation? What is their agenda? Where do they receive revelation? Do they get their revelation for their lives from God, or do they get revelation from someone else, somewhere else? Because their piece of advice, their opinion, will be linked to their own agenda. And it it affects us in the actions that we do. So if we as Christians receive and follow pieces of advice and opinions that come from an interpretation that is ungodly, then there is only one direction in which we can go. If their agenda is ungodly and we receive their advice, there's only one direction we can go: against God. And that's very important for us to keep in mind. Now, I said that Satan used God's words and twisted them, reinterpreted them when he came to Eve. In the world today, there isn't just one set of words. There isn't just God's word that's being twisted around us by people in so many ways. There are other forces, there are other people out there who play with our feelings. They play with our sense of insecurity, maybe. They take our fears, they take our past, they take our desires, and they do everything possible to interpret them for us so that it becomes beneficial for them. For example, there is a store where you can buy mattresses and pillows. So you go in there because you want a new mattress. And you speak to the assistant and you say, "I want a new mattress." And they will say, "Of course, we have this mattress here that will make you sleep better. You will have no back pains. You will wake up fresh in the morning. You will wake up feeling that you have slept for so long and you're so revitalized by this. It is the best thing you can do yourself by getting a good night's sleep on this mattress. You know, this pillow models itself after the shape of your head and neck. You will not have neck pains when you wake up in the morning. You will be able to stretch. You will feel like you've had a good night's sleep." You go in there wanting to buy a mattress, and you leave the place with the mattress, but with what else? With loads of excited thoughts about how good your life is going to be from the next night on, isn't it? They have interpreted the data mattress, and they have presented it to you in such a way that all of a sudden you have a new revelation about your life. It's going to be exciting. Night sleep is going to be brilliant. I have seen a few weeks ago a commercial online, on I think it was on YouTube, for Vauxhall Corsa. So obviously, we all have seen Vauxhall Corsas. We know what they are. It's not news. It's not a new product to us. But in this commercial, in this advertisement, there was a very pumped music, very lively, dynamic music, loads of colors changing very, very quickly. There was loads of cars in different colors, shot at different angles and at different times. And the interesting thing was the drivers were all young, buzzing with energy and music, and everybody was having a laugh and a good smile on their face, and everybody seemed like they were having the blast of their lifetime at that time. What are they trying to say? Are they trying to say, "Oh, by the way, there is Vauxhall Corsa in the world as well"? No. They're trying to say that for a young person to be cool, to, you know, for girls to get the guys' looks and for guys to get the girls' looks, you must be driving a Corsa. The more colored, the better. The louder the music, the better for you. You'll be in the world. You'll be somebody when you drive this car. See, that is, again, a reinterpretation of the facts. They could have said this runs on however many horsepower and it reaches that speed per miles and 100 miles, and it takes so many so many liters of petrol or diesel, that wouldn't have touched anyone. But they have reinterpreted the information in such a way that they would influence the behavior of the consumer, which is us people, yes? So we see that, I've just given two examples. There are many around us, many people who try to influence by giving us an interpretation. And these are just two examples for us to understand that every interpretation that we are given, either via a commercial, an advertisement, or via an opinion, or via a piece of advice that somebody gives us, stems from their own personal agenda. And they have established their own personal agenda based on their own interpretation of the revelation they received. Whatever was revealed to them, that's what a revelation is, a revelation. It's a revelation. They were revealed something about the purpose of their lives, what they believe in. They've interpreted that. They've created a personal agenda in the same way as we Christians should do. So what can we do to make way in this flood of interpretations that is hitting our heart every day? In order for us to be able to carry on, we must understand what our identity is from the very beginning. Without having a firm grasp of our identity, we cannot withstand this flood of revelation. It is too big for us to withstand it without understanding what is our identity. And the identity is linked to who God is. The identity is based on who God is. So we must come back to this to rediscover, to learn more about who God is, because this will give us clarity. This will give us clarity amongst the noise that is out there. And this clarity reveals another need of our heart, which is the need to be redeemed, the need for liberation. In God's plan, identity, revelation, and its interpretation based on the identity in God were all very good. We read in the very last verse of chapter 1 says, and I did point out to you to pay attention to it, God saw all that he had made. And it was very good. It was very good. Now, the fact that man decided to follow an ungodly interpretation, which led him to actions that damned Adam, damned his family, and damned the entire world because of this. We read in chapter 3, verse 13, that he blames the woman, he blames Eve for this. Oh, the woman who gave me, that's her fault. Eve, so that damns his relationship with Eve. That affects his relationship with Eve. God tells Eve in verse 16 that her labor will be painful when she gives birth to children. In verse 17, God tells Adam that the whole land, the planet will be damned because of him. So now getting food will be a toilsome work because of the fact that he followed this ungodly interpretation about his life. It's terrible. I think it's terrible to hear such a message from God that the actions that you do have consequences over yourself, over your family, over your heart, and then go out and affect the world around you as well. I think it's terrible. I think it's terrible, besides working hard and breaking sweat every day just to be able to live, I think it's very terrible to hear a message that you are the prisoner of a prison of spiritual blindness, where fellowship with God is now interrupted because of the choice that you've made. and the interpretation you've accepted. And I think that's a terrible, terrible message. But thankfully, that is not the only message. That is not the only message. We are not doomed forever to follow a broken compass, to do the best we can, hoping that we will be better, but knowing that we are moving against the stream. So God gave Adam and Eve a message of hope that there will be a time when the head of this snake will be crushed. And when that time comes, man will be again able to rediscover his identity, his true identity, and to interpret things around him based on this identity. And we see in Acts chapter 2, the correct interpretation of the reality around him of a man who has chosen to place his identity in God. We read about Peter, who has chosen to be a worshiper of God. So he speaks about the one who has come to crush the snake's head and to blast away this fake identity that the devil has given mankind by this fake interpretations. So in verses 22 to 31, I'm not going to read this now, but you can read this at home, Acts 2, 22 to 31. Peter presents people with an interpretation that is aligned to God's agenda. He interprets the life of Jesus on this earth and the purpose in order to bring people in alignment with God's own agenda. So we see reading this passage that handcuffed hearts from this prison of spiritual darkness start seeing the light. Start seeing the light now. Imagine people in sin, like people who are underwater. You have a tube through which you get air, however much you get, and that's how you breathe. And you're trying to make sense of what is above water. You can see some shadows. You cannot have a clear image of what's there above water. But all you can see is just some shadows and some things that are constantly shifting and moving around as the water moves around. In the same way, a sinful interpretation is causing all sorts of shifting in people's lives. There's nothing to base your interpretation on if it's sinful. So when Peter breaks out this message, when he breaks out this revelation, this interpretation to the people, just imagine like people are coming out of the water and taking a deep breath. Freedom. I get it. Finally, a healthy interpretation. And they said, verse 37 says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. Finally, that binding sinful interpretation was broken. The message, the new revelation went straight to their hearts. What shall we do? What shall we do? We don't want to go back to the old way in which we have been. So Peter says to them, verse 40, repent. Repent. I'm coming closer to the end. And we are looking at 2021, which is a year when we have heard maybe more than ever the words mask, isolation, NHS maybe. We have been so scared to come close in contact with people. And we have received information based on a set of facts, which we have interpreted, or we haven't interpreted for ourselves. We just accepted somebody else's interpretation for us we have altered our actions in the process as well. Besides this, besides the whole pandemic madness, I don't know what the year has been for you. You have tried to be happy and tried and tried and tried. And at the end of last year, or you're beginning this year, still feeling unhappy. You have tried to begin afresh. And maybe some of you have tried to begin afresh every January for several years. But when February came, your new beginnings were wiped out. You're back to the old ways. You've given up. I've tried for so many years, I can't do anything new. Maybe you're disappointed. Maybe you expect for something to change, but you don't know what, and you don't know whether it's going to change. Maybe you've wished for so long for things to change that you've given up hope, and it is what it is. I would like to bring you back to what we've learned today. We have learned that God created man in a perfect way. When day six was finished, he said everything was very good. Also, we learned that God considered that man needed external direction and guidance. So it's something very good to keep in mind as we go home today. But any help that we receive that is external of us, from any people around us, must be very carefully thought out, because it involves a moral agenda. So we must pay attention to everything that goes in through our eyes and through our ears, because that has an influence to impact us. You know, in 1 Peter, we read that the devil is not pondering or debating whether he should tempt us or not. Peter says it very clear that he's like a roaring lion trying to just gulp us down. He's not thinking, should I leave him another year? Should I give him another 6 months of grace? No, now if he can. And through all sorts of ways and through all sorts of interpretations, he's doing this to get us into the same point where he brought Adam and Eve, to break fellowship with God, break a healthy and an eternal connection with God. So for this, we must be anchored into the Word of God every day, because this will tell us what our identity is. And this will help us, once we understand our identity, it will help us to understand the revelation God gave for us, the purpose for our life, the purpose for this year. Why have we been given days and life for 2022? Why? We need to understand that purpose, and we need to be able to interpret it from God's perspective. Say, on a scale of from 1 to 10, where 10 is the top, yeah, the best, where would you say, what would you grade yourself in how well you can interpret God's revelation for you, how well you can interpret God's message for you? When you read the Bible, it makes sense, or you read the Bible and you have no idea what you're reading about, makes no sense. What would you grade yourself? On a scale from 1 to 10, how would you grade your identity? How would you grade what you believe your identity is related to God? Can I draw you back to verse 31 in Genesis 1? He looked at them and they're all very good. In the beginning, your identity in Christ was graded 10, the best, the best. Can we take a moment to pray? I'd like to take a moment. Everybody will pray in silence. Nobody will hear what you say. But can I ask you to be completely honest with God? And based on what you've heard this morning, look at what your identity is, what you believe it to be. Look at how well you have understood and received God's revelation and how you've been interpreting it for the past few years or for all your life. Can you look at all the outside influences that are trying to barge in and interpret life for you? And if you're here this morning, or if you listen to us online this morning, and you feel like you're being underwater, you cannot make heads or tails of your life, you don't understand why you're here on this earth, you're just like somebody breathing through a tube, can I ask you to come before God today and ask for liberation? Ask for his redemptive work, or ask for Jesus Christ to come into your life and give you freedom. So you have a godly revelation. You have a godly interpretation of the purpose God has created, has given for your life. Let's stand in prayer for a couple of moments, and then I will close with prayer. Dear Father, you are our Heavenly Father. And you have created us. And you have given us a new year to step into. And you have prepared new things for us for this year. We expect great new things with you. So, Lord, I'm asking if there is a false, corrupted interpretation in our hearts this morning. I ask that you would shine your light and show the truth. I ask that we would embrace your purpose for our lives, your purposes for this church and Emmaus. We ask that we go in the direction that you have set before us. And where is confusion? I ask that you bring clarity. And where there is bondage, I ask that you bring liberation. I ask this in Jesus' name, because he is the one who has come to set us free. He's the one who has come so that we would have a life of purpose, a life enriched in him. And I'm praying that this year we experience that more than ever. In Jesus' name, to him be glory. Amen. You may be seated.